What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 5:09, 87 degrees, as we wait for the summit between Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump to end and come out and make a public statement. So we will break to that if that does happen during the segment. But it is Friday, and with all Fridays, it's time for Do I Have a Case with attorney Keith Figured of the Figured Law Group. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show this week.
How you doing, Rob? Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be before the listeners.
I do apologize again if they come to make statements, President Trump and Vladimir Putin. We are going to have to break to that, but we will try and get as much in as we can. It looks like their meeting is going on for an hour and 40 minutes now, so we'll see what happens with that meeting.
No problem.
I appreciate it. With the first question here, my municipality has a hotline for potholes. After my vehicle received damage from an area pothole, I asked for access to the logs to see if the pothole responsible had ever been reported and was told no such logs exist. I find it hard to believe that there's no record of these calls. What can I do?
So there was actually a question on this, I don't know, a few weeks ago, similar. And if the callers remember, with these types of claims, establishing prior notice is critical for potential liability claims, specifically with municipalities in Pennsylvania, which are generally protected by governmental immunity under the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act. And there's only limited exceptions in cases where negligence and prior knowledge, hence the importance of establishing the prior notice as being critical, and that notice has to put the municipality or other government entity on notice of a dangerous condition. The absence of accessible logs doesn't necessarily mean no records exist. They may be maintained internally or subject to Pennsylvania's public records laws. So the first thing would be that the individual would want to file a right to know law request. Pennsylvania's right to know law grants public access to municipal records, including pothole reports, call logs, or maintenance records. So the individual could submit a formal right to know law request to the municipality's open records office. Now, in terms of the request, they would want to specify the record sought, such as the call logs, emails, or complaints related to the pothole at the exact location, street address, or intersection for a defined period 1 year prior to the incident, and then maintenance or inspection reports for the road in question and work orders or repair records for the pothole. Now, under the standard request, under the right to know law request, that form is available on the Pennsylvania Office of Open Records website, which is openrecords.pa.gov. Requests can be submitted via email, mail, or in person, and municipalities must respond within 5 days, though exceptions are common. And then fees may apply for copying or redaction, but simple requests may be free. If they are denied, they can appeal to the Pennsylvania Office of Open Records within 15 business days. The other thing they could do is contact municipality departments, reach out to the municipality, public works, or street department, which typically manages the pothole reports and road maintenance, inquire about their record-keeping practices, whether hotline calls, including whether they use systems like 311 or proprietary software to log complaints, and then they can also ask specifically the retention policy for call logs or audio recordings, as Pennsylvania municipalities are required to follow retention schedules under the Municipal Records Act. For example, maintenance logs are often retained for at least, I believe, 1 to 3 years. And then, of course, you know, there's a number of things. If the pothole is on a state road, they have that number route, PA-611, so they can contact or do a right to know request for that. Now, if you're filing a claim, Because this is a claim against a municipality, Pennsylvania municipalities require written notice of a claim for damages within 6 months of the incident. So it's a lot quicker statute of limitations, and you got to move on that fairly quickly, which means if a situation like this arises, you want to see counsel as soon as possible. But in order to submit that formal notice to the municipality, it has to be submitted to the clerk or solicitor, including the date and time and exact location of the incident, the description of the pothole and resulting vehicle damage, and any supporting evidence, which of course you would want to take pictures immediately at the time if anything did happen of the pothole and the damage to the vehicle. The only potential, I mean, there's a lot more I could probably get into here, but I think the biggest thing that it comes down to is that if the municipality claims no logs exist, they might have a short retention period or informal logging practice. Now, again, I don't know if that complies with the Retention Records Act, but the bottom line is if something like this happens, you're probably best off. And one other thing just to cover, I'm recalling from the last question, is I believe the damages are limited to injury. I don't think that you would have much, if any, recovery. If anything, I think it only covers your deductible as far as the damage may be concerned to the vehicle. So it would be specific but limited in recovery to physical injuries. So bottom line is reach out to an attorney and they would best be able to direct you and determine the best way to proceed.
All right. In-depth answer there as always. Next question. My employer cut my hours after I asked about overtime pay. Could that be retaliation?
So under the Fair Labor Standards Act, that's a federal law applicable in PA, where employers are prohibited from retaliating against employees for engaging in protected activities related to wage and hour rights, including inquiries about overtime pay. So protected activities encompass making oral or written complaints, such as asking an employer about overtime eligibility or compensation, even if the complaint is internal and informal. So retaliation under the FLSA, the Fair Labor Standards Act, is broadly defined and includes any adverse employment action, such as reducing an employee's hours, demoting them, or otherwise discriminating against them in response to such inquiries. Now, although, and I'm assuming, because if you were in a union, this would probably even be an issue. So I'm assuming the individual is an at-will employee. So that being said, although the individual is, or assuming he's an at-will employee, which generally allows termination or modification of employment terms for any non-illegal reason, retaliation for asserting rights under the FLSA constitute an exception to that at-will doctrine. So Pennsylvania state laws, including the Pennsylvania Minimum Wage Act, provide similar protections against retaliation for certain wage-related activities, such as testifying in proceedings through federal law, and offers broader safeguards. So that's it. Bottom line is if you have several avenues for recourse, the first is you may file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division, which specifically investigates FLSA violations, including retaliation claims. Complaints can be submitted confidentiality, and remedies may include pay for lost wages due to reduced hours, reinstatement of hours, and liquidated damages. Alternatively, you can pursue a private lawsuit under the FLSA, potentially within, I believe the statute of limitation is 2 years, and if it's willful, I think it might extend it to 3, but I'm not positive. In Pennsylvania, you may also contact the Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry for guidance. I believe in terms of potential other avenues of recourse, you can probably file with the PHRC or the EEOC, of which both of those have websites. And the way they work is it's the same 6-month statute of limitations, where a lot of times you have to put these companies on notice, and you go on and actually fill in or submit a complaint, and then an investigator would be appointed, and then they would come in, investigate it, try to solve the problem between the employee and the employer, and then if it isn't solved, that investigator would issue what's called a right to sue letter. So technically you can't even sue until you get that letter, but then that's something once you get that letter you would want to take to an attorney, and that usually ends up in federal court. So, but the bottom line is if you do have an issue involving this type of matter, you would want to reach out to an attorney, maybe particularly particularly someone in wage and hour law, which you would Google specifically. You would want somebody specialized in something like this. It's a very specialized area. The other claims, not so much, you know, the straight retaliation, but the specific wage and hour claims would be something that you would need to look for a specialist.
All right, Keith, two in-depth answers there. We'll leave our third question for next week on a version of Do I Have a Case, because we're running out of time here. If anyone has a question for you that they don't want public and they want to go offline, how can they contact you?
They can contact me directly by my phone, which goes directly to me at 570-954-9299. They can send me an email at keith@figuredlaw.com, and they can send inquiries to my website at figuredlaw.com.
All right. And if you want a question featured on a segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me here at the station at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com. And we will feature one of those questions on a future segment of Do I Have a Case with Attorney Keith Figured. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show this week, and you have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, and I hope you and the listeners have a great weekend as well, Rob.
All right. Thank you. You're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Jake's going crazy on this Friday afternoon. It's Friday, right? Make it count out there. 524 here, 88 degrees on this, again, Friday, August 15th, 2025. Just keeping an eye on the TV screen here to see if there's anything coming out. So far, nothing much. I did rewatch the video of not only four F-22 stealth fighter jets with the B-2 bomber that came screaming over the heads of President Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump, to where President Donald Trump obviously had a heads up this was going to happen, looked up in the sky, smiled, and clapped his hand about three times. Vladimir Putin, not so much. He looked up, and the more I look at the video, was visibly distressed is probably too much of a word, but shaken of it, because I guess it was unexpected. And listen, four stealth fighter jets and a B-2 bomber make a hell of a racket flying overhead at about 800 feet. They came right over the two planes and turned their head, turned their bearing to bank right over the two of them. And Vladimir Putin looked at Donald Trump smiling and clapping and put a smile on his face in response to it. But yeah, that's a show of U.S. might right there. Four F-22 stealth fighter jets and a B-2 bomber come screaming overhead just as you're walking off your plane. That'll put you in the right mindset. So the more I see it, the more I'm liking it. We'll see. They're in there for 2 hours now. 3:30, the meeting started. It's 5:26 now. So we will see, hopefully before the end of the show, some kind of answers from the world leaders when they come out and speak to the press. We were talking yesterday about that standoff in Dallas Township. A female is now in custody following the incident. Basically, she assaulted her boyfriend. He was able to get out of the house, called police, and then she refused to come out. And I'm assuming she refused to come out till he said he was wrong. And then, which isn't going to happen. So, and I'm putting a joke there. Thankfully, everything was okay. But she did not, would refuse to come out because, again, the boyfriend refused to say he was sorry. And I'm adding that. That's not what happened here. Obviously, she just wouldn't come out of her house. And a state police cert team had to enter the residence to get her out without any incident. So that's a good thing. You know, charges are obviously filed. But police said that they determined the female suspect had assaulted the male victim the previous night. After the victim was able to leave the residence, he contacted police and was transported to a local hospital for treatment for his injuries. They do not say the type of injuries. And the female barricaded herself inside the residence. Officers attempted to make contact and negotiate with her. We all know how that goes. Not coming out till you say you're sorry. And again, it's Friday, so we got to make a little. Since everything turned out well here, except for her future court appearance, and hopefully her male friend is fine because they do not say what kind of injuries. But after negotiations were unsuccessful, Pennsylvania State Police CERT team entered the residence and took the female into custody without further incidents. Charges are pending, police say. So a good outcome. You know, when something like this happens, you really never know what you're dealing with. But a records check of the address and the people that obviously it was known who was in there. Do they have any weapons registered to them? Are there any concealed carry permits? Speaking to the boyfriend, is there anything in there that's dangerous that we need to be aware of? Is she a needle user? Is she such? You know, these things can bring the tension down, although you never know. So they also have to take precautions when it comes to protecting themselves. But thankfully, this had a good turnout. It did close the area down for a few hours. Inconvenience for all. I guess we'll maybe have a follow-up of what charges are actually filed and what kind of injuries to her male friend. But a happy ending is always a good ending. Not that, you know, police involvement is a happy ending, but once they're called, it's one of the happier endings that could exist, that there were no further incidents and everybody is okay. Except for her male friend who was assaulted the night before and escaped. If you remember, those streets were closed between College Manor and Elmcrest. But all back to normal now. All back to normal now. Let me see. Got a text message in that Home Depot ladders are under a recall. Don't know what type of ladder, but if you have a ladder from Home Depot, you might want to check it out. That's just a text message coming in. Don't know anything more.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
About it than that, but it's a good thing to check if you recently bought a ladder from Home Depot or over the past year or so. Who knows how long? These recalls go back a long time sometimes. It's coming up on 5:30 here at WILK. Time for the news with our illustrious Paul Michaels. You know, sometimes I think America could solve half its problems if we just switch from cable news for cable karaoke. Imagine Congress, same suits, same speeches, but each argument had to be sung to the tune of Sweet Caroline. Ba-ba-bam. Suddenly the filibuster turned into a dance-off and everybody leaves humming instead of fuming. Because here's the truth. We are really good at turning small differences into big ones. You like your coffee black, I like it with cream. You say soda, I say pop. And before you know it, we're ready to draw up a 10-point plan on why the other one is wrong. It's almost impressive. But take a step back, and it's pretty silly. At the end of the day, we're arguing over which color crayon we want to use while we're all coloring the same picture. And that picture is America. 50 stars, 13 stripes, and a whole lot of people who all want the same big things. Freedom, safety, opportunity, and a future for our kids. This country has weathered wars, depressions, and disco. And if we can survive disco, we can survive political disagreements. Our history is filled with moments when we argue fiercely, but then roll up our sleeves and work side by side. Washington and Jefferson didn't see eye to eye. Lincoln's cabinet disagreed on everything but lunch. And yet here we are. Still one nation, under God, indivisible. So maybe next time we feel our blood pressure rise over a red state or blue state, we remember there's only one state that really matters, the United States. And our strength has never been in the things we agree on, been on our ability to disagree, debate, and still shake hands afterwards. Because the flag we salute doesn't have separate stripes for Democrats or Republicans. It's one set of stripes, one set of stars, one nation. And if we can laugh at ourselves a little more, maybe we'll remember we're not opponents in this great American story. We're teammates. And teammates, they may bicker in the locker room, but when the whistle blows, they play for the same jersey. God bless America. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. As we start to wind things down here on this Friday afternoon, 5:42. I just did see from the Secret Service at the White House, Trump and his entourage is in Alaska right now, and they won't be back in the White House for hours, at least. The U.S. Secret Service will conduct a routine active threat exercise at the White House complex August 15th from approximately 8 p.m. tonight to 1 a.m. Members of the public may hear simulated gunfire and see increased law enforcement presence in and around the White House complex during this exercise. No road closures will be in effect at this for this exercise. Though select sidewalks near the complex will be closed, all exercises being conducted are routine and are not expected to significantly impact the public from the United States Secret Service. They will be having an active threat exercise tonight from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., and they're just alerting the public, hey, you hear simulated gunfire and such. So if you see any chatter on social media tonight that there's an incident at the White House, it could very much be this U.S. Secret Service training conducting a routine active threat exercise from 8 p.m. tonight to 1 in the morning. So just to bring you up to speed on that, let's see, check messages. We're good there. Somebody says, Rob, I live about a half mile from Misericordia College in Dallas. When this happened, our Dallas police kicked butt. That's why I live here. And I says, that's great to hear. So good. Kudos to the Dallas Police Department from the residents there, giving them a shout out. Well, I see Jake got his headphones on because he has a copy of my schedule and he knows what I'm going to be talking about here. So Taylor Swift, and listen, regardless of what you, I don't like her, care for her music or nothing. I think she's a pretty young lady. Whatever she does. It really has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I think the fanfare around here is a little over the top, but that's what happens when you have a big fan base. But she was recently on the Kelce's podcast, and I guess it's both of theirs, or it's just the brothers.
Yeah, it's usually Jason and Travis.
So it is the both of them.
Yeah.
Now that the football season's firing up, Travis will probably be more, on the road and such like that. Where I've seen it's just the brother.
Oh, he loves the camera.
Yeah, yeah, and I did see Happy Gilmore too. By the way,
he did good in that
this past weekend. Yeah, he was pretty good in it. And listen, I don't really care for Travis Kelce either, but for really no reason is just don't know that much about him, to be honest with you. Where his brother, I think, is more down to earth, more fun hearted and stuff. Which just more, maybe it's a beard thing, but maybe more my kind of dude. But she was on and such, and there's really a lot of controversy over her being on this podcast or her being involved or just their relationship as a whole. Now, I know we make fun of it because when you're watching a football game and they're showing one of the girlfriends of the football player more than the players on the field, yeah, it kind of draws a negative conversation about it. But listen, the way they are playful with each other, they're in a relationship. Are they getting married? Are they not getting married? How serious are they? I think it's good for young men and women, even in their 20s, to see that, the dating scene, even for people of that capacity, of that, hard for them to do, like normal people do, go from places, go on dates, go out on things, how they make it work. So I don't know, Jake, how do you, I think it's normal. I think it's a good thing to see.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, Rob. That's definitely a way that I never even thought of it prior to this discussion. And I think what's so different, of course, like we talk about, there are 53 players on an NFL roster. And the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, I mean, they've basically been a dynasty. They've definitely been the team of the decade for the 2020s. Even Patrick Mahomes, as successful as he is, as good-looking as his wife is, even Brittany Mahomes doesn't even get the amount of airtime that Taylor Swift does. At the same time, like you were talking about, it's different because obviously Travis has won 3 Super Bowl championships. Taylor, I obviously don't have the numbers in front of me, but her career and her accomplishments definitely speak for themselves. So it's definitely a very high-profile couple. It's definitely obviously you're going to be under a microscope 24/7, especially with, you know, with the attention and the fandom that she has.
Yeah, well, so, with Brittany Mahomes, she's famous for being Patrick Mahomes' wife.
Yeah, that's where pretty much it.
Obviously, Taylor Swift has her own
global,
you know, separate entity. You know,
a global icon, basically.
Yeah, so I would assume, yes, she would get more attention by who she is.
But I mean, there's even other players on the Chiefs, and it's not even just the Chiefs. It's even the other 31 teams in the National Football League. I mean, obviously, you don't see the cameras panning in on, you know, even when Tom Brady was married to Gisele, you never really saw it all that much. But yeah, that is a really, really interesting dynamic. I mean, obviously, a regular football guy like myself, you know, you're not going to tune in for something like that. But it is good to see that they're relationship, at least from what it looked like on the podcast, looks pretty healthy. It seems that they definitely enjoy each other's company, and obviously they're both very successful at what they do. It's going to be interesting moving forward. I mean, the Chiefs are coming off of a, you know, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, the Super Bowl was an ass kicking. There was no other way around it. And Travis Kelce even admitted when they're doing the NFL top 100, it's voted on by the players, and he has dropped significantly in that top 100 ranking the past 2 years. And he even admitted that he's probably caught up more in the Hollywood side of things than it is his playing career. So,
but he is making efforts, because I've noticed that, to change that.
Right.
He's in the best shape of his life right now. He has dropped a ton of weight. He's more cut.
Yeah.
He says he's been working. It was noticed when he went to spring training camp. Even the coach, Andy Reid, said, hey, this guy's ready to play this year. So he is learning from that.
Oh, for sure. Because last year, I mean, the last 2 years, but last year especially, was by far the worst season of his career, even going all the way back to his rookie year in 2013. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, personally, I know that Travis said that's what fueled him to come back for this year, was how awful of a season he had individually, and obviously how awful that Super Bowl went. And I mean, you know, if I were him and they win the Super Bowl this year, which obviously I think Kansas City still has a really, really good chance of pulling off. I mean, 4 Super Bowl rings, you're tying Rob Gronkowski for the most by a tight end. If I were him, just knowing where his mindset is at and what he's accomplished in his career, I would ride off into the sunset if I were him. And they end up getting back there and winning it. So,
and that goes back to the relationship aspect here. If she does, because you could tell when they're together. I mean, she does not look at him as Travis Kelce, the football player. He does not look at her as Taylor Swift, you know, the record dynamo.
They look at each other as the person.
That she is. Yeah, they're just a girlfriend and boyfriend, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
But if they're looking for a future, if she's looking at these things, you know, she's done a lot of smart things in her career. She's looking at him and says, well, you know, if I do want to have a family, we do want to raise kids. Football is a dangerous sport, as far, especially in the long term. You know, do you leave on top at this point? You know, could she be the catalyst that says it's time for our next, you know, next level here? And that's going to go both ways. And I think that's where you start seeing her fans start turning. Because her fans want to see her out on tour. Her fans want to see her making albums. Her fans want to see that. She starts deciding, hey, my next chapter is family life. My chapter is having kids and running around and doing the things that moms do and wives do. And we have the opportunity more than most people to really focus on our family rather than having to go to a job every day and worry about daycare and worry about stuff like that. But if she doesn't start putting out the product and becomes more seclusive because, hey, you know, I'm sure they want their kids to have their own privacy and such.
Oh, exactly.
Does her fans turn around and start going? Because now it's mostly his fans saying, what are you doing? I want to hear about football. I want to hear about, I don't want to hear about your pop queen nonsense, even though how old is Taylor Swift? I mean,
same age as me, 2 months younger.
Yeah.
So she'll be 36 in December.
So, I mean, the image of her is not what it really truly is. I mean, she's a 36-year-old woman. She's got to be looking at that next step, as both of them should be. And for his health, you know, playing as long as he did and taking the shots he does as a tight end. Listen, tight end takes a beating out there.
Oh, for sure.
From both sides. So, you know, if they start looking at that side of it, I could see the tables turn there where she says, hey, you know, I want to go seclusive. I want to just have my kids' privacy and do our thing. Maybe put out an album here and there, but I'm not going on tour anymore until my kids are older. Do her fans stick around? Do they look at Travis Kelce and say, "Oh, what did you do to our you know, what did you do to our princess here?"
I mean, not trying to be facetious or anything, I could definitely see them having that sort of mentality. And like you talk about wanting to settle down, potentially have children. I know Travis has talked about, I mean, in my opinion, he's definitely going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. And the whole movie aspect, that's the next avenue that he wants to go down. So, I mean, that is interesting, just trying to find that healthy balance of wanting to start a family, wanting to continue her career, him wanting to start another chapter. I think that there's some people that will definitely understand it, but you're still, obviously, you're still going to get some people that were like, oh, well, you know. But I was going to say, because he's going to be 36 in October, and I believe that's the same age that Jason was when he retired 2 years ago. And
Jason's the prime example, you know, happily married, two younger kids, right?
I think they have three or four now, and he's awesome on Monday Night Football. I get such a joy out of watching him, just the things that he comes off with. So, yeah, will be interesting. But, yeah, I do have a feeling that I think 2025, that this could be it for Travis Kelce football-wise.
We'll see. Do you think it all happens at once? Do you think, you know, you have him winning the big one, saying that's it for me, and Taylor, I'm getting down on one knee. Let's move on with our lives here. That's the trifecta right there.
I was gonna say, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. my favorite though was with how bad Philly beat them in the Super Bowl, and it was that meme of Travis when he was yelling at Andy Reid the year prior when they were going up against the 49ers in the Super Bowl, when he was screaming at him, and obviously he shoved them on the sideline. And I love the one meme, and the caption read, "I was supposed to propose to Taylor tonight."
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm pretty excited, obviously, that football's back around the corner. We got two preseason games tonight. Whole bulk of them are tomorrow. And then I believe there's two games on Sunday, and there's one on Monday night. So, yeah, we're getting close, man.
All right, somebody's chiming in and says that if she goes into the mom family route, she'll still make so much money. Oh. Absolutely, no doubt.
She's already made more money than Travis.
She's too marketable not to put her life in some sort of spotlight.
Yeah,
You never know. You have a lot of people who just disappeared and did their thing once family's involved.
Yeah.
You know, we look at things different than that. You know, money and fame, for some, is everything. For a lot of people who want that next chapter, it's truly not. And especially, your dynamic changes when you have kids. Your thought process changes. Your priorities change. I guess we'll see. I mean, I've been married 30 years and have three children who are doing their own thing now. And, wish them the best of luck. But I think it's a good – we talk about the sports model that he is and the performer and business model she is. I think them showing themselves as a real couple is a good thing for people that age, in their 20s, in their 30s, to see and say, hey, you know, maybe it is doable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Rob.
As two old married guys here to talk about advice. What do you got, Jake? A year and a couple months?
I was going to say, actually today it is 14 months.
14 months
Kelly and
today.
I have been married.
The mere fact you know that shows you're a good husband. So,
not bad for some nanny.
Somebody
now
said, "Jaker Steelers 9-8. Love you, your mailman friend."
I know who that is.
So,
yeah.
Steelers 9-8.
Yeah,
I don't think Jake's going to disagree with you because of the coach. So,
I mean, 9-8 is not going to get you anywhere in the playoffs this year, at least not on the AFC side. And again, I mean, everyone's trying to buy into this hype around Aaron Rodgers, and I don't doubt that he still has something left in the tank, but it's the injury history over the past 2 years, and it's also the mental aspect, because I would say, like, over the past three, four seasons, like his last year in Green Bay, the 2 years with the Jets, to me, he's just seemed mentally checked out. So, like I was saying, I can't really buy into the hype all that well when he's sort of there mentally and you have someone like Tomlin that's going to coddle him. So we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. And with that, we'll leave it there. Somebody said she just paid $340 million for the rights to her music. Well, good for her. If you got it, take it. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, I apologize for not having any update for the Putin and Trump meeting in Alaska for this historic summit that's taken place. They have spoke now for 2.5 hours, 3:30, 5:30. Yeah, 2.5 hours they've been at this. And I just posted a video of the B-2 bomber and the four F-22s flying over them as they walk down there. So you could go to my Facebook and check out that video there. So stay tuned to your news. I don't know if we're going to cover it, if we'll be able to cut in, because we won't be here. And the rest of the afternoon is syndicated. So not sure if we could bring you that there. But we will follow up, of course, on Monday with whatever breaking news there was for today. I will be monitoring it, so check out my Facebook, and I will put some updates there. Even though it's Friday, I'll keep you informed. You know, I like to dip away for the weekends and take a deep breath. And I recommend you do the same thing. But the fact that this meeting has been taking place for 2.5 hours is a good sign. Hopefully they're solving the world's problems, because that's what it's supposed to be, right? That's exactly what it's supposed to be, and we'll see what comes out of it. Either way, it's a good thing. God bless. Be safe. I'll see you on Monday.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.